Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. With 130 million Americans now fully vaccinated, that's about 40% of the country, workplaces are beginning to consider when and how employees will return to the office. But there are looming questions. For employees, has the pandemic forever changed how we think about the workplace? And for employers, has it proven once and for all that workers can be productive outside the office? According to a recent Harris poll, 40% of Americans said they would prefer to work full-time from home, compared to 25% who want to go back to the office full-time. The rest favor a hybrid model. Among the biggest worries of those polled, losing the flexibility one gets working from home and being around coworkers again. Joining us now to continue our conversation about how the American workplace has evolved because of the COVID-19 pandemic and what questions you should be asking your employer about going back to work are Rachel Gutman. She's deputy managing editor at The Atlantic magazine and is the author of a recent piece titled Six Questions for the Boss Who Wants You Back in Your Cubicle. Rachel, thanks for being on the 21st today.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
Also joining us is Todd Connor, founder and CEO of Bunker Labs in Chicago, a business accelerator supporting military-connected entrepreneurs. He also co-authors a weekly column for Crain's Chicago Business under the banner Chicago Comes Back. Todd, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brian. Great
and listeners, our phone lines continue to be open, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We want to know, how has the pandemic changed your work preferences? Do you find you're more or less productive working from home? 800-222-9455. Are you looking forward to going back to the office? Or maybe you'd prefer some other kind of work arrangement? And if so, what does that look like for you? 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. And you can always tweet us at 21st Show. Todd, I want to begin with you. As a CEO yourself who works with business leaders, you've been thinking about this lately for the column you write for Crain's. I'm curious, on the inside of the business community, what advice do you have for business leaders when thinking about return to office policies?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. You know, it really is. I'm talking about this time as sort of a great reckoning of office cultures or company cultures, because the reality is, just by virtue of being in an office, you may or may not be more productive. And there isn't a one size fits all answer. What this time is forcing business leaders to do is to really ask themselves, you know, are we clear as an organization on what it is that we're striving to achieve? Are we clear on what a shared sort of vision of success looks like? Are we clear what individual contribution towards that is? And if the answers were kind of shaky before, we at least maybe had the in-person opportunity to either get to better answers or maybe just give us the delusion that things are fine because we're kind of all together in a virtual environment. If you don't have good answers to those questions, clarity, I'll call it, it really does exacerbate the issue. And so the challenge for business leaders has not changed, which is how do you give strategic clarity, individual clarity, collective clarity for what it is that you're trying to do and how people individually contribute to that. Organizations that have that figured out don't have issues in a virtual environment because the tasks are clear and the goals are clear. Those that have struggled to create that clarity have, I think, seen those challenges exacerbated. So to me, the fundamentals still matter. And I think organizations that had better answers to the fundamentals of how they operate, how they compete, how they win, I think are going to continue to be successful. Those that don't have good answers are going to continue to struggle.
We asked our listeners, as I mentioned earlier, what they might tell their and what they would want to tell their employers about what they want out of return to work plans. And Tom wrote in to say they should mandate vaccination as a requirement to work. I'd tell my boss to put more trust in science and learn how to think critically. Rachel, your piece in The Atlantic is called, as I mentioned earlier, Six Questions for the Boss Who Wants You Back in Your Cubicle. It touches on these issues. Should companies require vaccinations for returning employees? Can they require vaccinations for returning employees? We've seen some states ban the idea of a so-called vaccine passport. Rachel, should employees still ask about this?
It's really hard to say what employers should do. Employees absolutely should be asking, if only because they need to understand what's required of them before going back to the office. Most companies can ask you to be vaccinated in order to come to work. It's not necessarily against the law. And being vaccinated at work, having everybody vaccinated, would enable you to do a lot of other stuff. If everybody's vaccinated, then you don't necessarily need to mask in the office. You can eat in the office. You can all have meetings inside with each other. And once you start having offices with more mixed vaccination statuses is where things get a little trickier.
And Todd, I'm curious if you have a point of view on this particular point about vaccines.
Well, it's a tough issue. I mean, the first thing is, you know, respect local guidance and federal guidance. And then I think the other is to have a conversation with employees. I think the biggest thing is we're living in an era in which leaders aren't expected in some cases to have the answers. And I think if the old model of leadership was, I sort of stand up and tell you the answer, I think we're in a season of leadership which demands humility and questions and the room for co-creation. So I think leaders would be smart to engage their colleagues in the conversation about what feels appropriate. And you are seeing people do different things, create incentive programs, allow for flexibility, but in such a way that there really does sort of seem to be an incentive towards getting the vaccine to come back. Heavy-handed tactics, I would say, and this is a global comment, not specific to vaccines, but heavy-handed, tactics tend to, create disruption, and sometimes that's not necessary. And so I do encourage companies to look for ways to meet their employees' needs while, respecting the legal guidance and ultimately to not do it as an act of isolation, but to include others in the conversation about what the right answer is. Because ultimately, people feeling heard is how people feel bought in. And so that time and space that leaders have to create for people to participate in the dialogue, I think is really important in this moment.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about returning to the office. More and more Illinoisans are getting vaccinated, and companies are beginning to look at, in some cases already are, talking about their plans. We heard earlier that some companies obviously are looking at just getting back into the office as soon as they can. Others are adopting and embracing this hybrid model, work from home some of the time, work in the office some of the time. We heard State Farm is doing that for the majority of their employees. For this part of the conversation, we're talking with Todd Connor of Bunker Labs in Chicago. He also writes the Chicago Comes Back column at Cranes. And Rachel Gutman, who's deputy managing editor at The Atlantic and recently wrote a piece about questions you should be asking your boss before you go back to work. Rachel, you write about the idea that American companies have been historically been bad about allowing or encouraging employees to work from home. Even while sick, do you think employers have learned that something about their employees, that maybe they can be effective and productive from home? And do you think that's going to change workplace policies in the future?
I sure hope so. It's hard to say, again, what individual employers have learned from this or not. But certainly society as a whole has learned that remote work might not be as bad in all ways as we anticipated at the beginning of the pandemic. We've shown that a lot of companies can go on functioning more or less normally, and that it does improve people's lives in certain dimensions. I believe one of the listeners at the top of the show had said that she wants to try to work from home 2 days a week. And that, as one of my colleagues has written, Amanda Mull, is actually kind of a perfect solution for a lot of people. So if more companies institute that, that could be a really big win for workers.
Yeah, I think she said she has a half hour commute each way. And that's probably a little long for many of our listeners in downstate Illinois. But for those in major metropolitan areas, that could be on the short side. That's a lot of time people could stand to gain back. I want to read another text from our Text the 21st group. A listener named John said, All I might wish to say to my employer or any other is that they ought to treat their employees with the appreciation that one might think to be associated with being called essential in any capacity. Everyone, from the top to the bottom, should be made to feel that they are essential and not merely branded it and left to feel sacrificial at times. Todd, do you think that the pandemic has forever changed the way we work and what we consider the workplace?
You know, I hope so, in the sense that we, I love the comment because to me, it is about this sort of forced transparency that we find ourselves in. And we want to know, you know, the values of our leaders. My view is that there's a lot of forgiveness for decisions that may not be perfect if we understand the intent of the people that are making the decisions. And so I think our values are really on display for consideration. So if there was, you know, conversation about essential workers being essential, the question that people are going to be asking themselves is whether or not that commitment continues. You know, was that just lip service? Was that temporal? Or did it mean something? Did it stick? You know, there's a lot of conversation about the importance of not only essential workers, but all colleagues in this environment, in which it's challenging to show up and be a parent and have other obligations. And I think employers that honor the things that they said during the pandemic continue to live values that honor and lift up their employees are going to, I think, yield long-term benefit for that. And employers that were sort of not sincere or not clear even on what their values were, why they were doing what they were doing, I think they're going to suffer, not only, I think, amongst their employees, but also in the marketplace. And so I do think that this transparency, leaders that were expected to have values, articulate those values, that I hope to be an enduring lesson of what good leadership looks like, not just in a pandemic, but even beyond.
Rachel, in the about 5 minutes we have remaining, I want to go through some of the other questions that you write about in your piece. You say something you should ask your boss is about ventilation. What have you done to review and improve airflow in the office? Can you talk about why that's important? What do people need to know about that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. One point that I want to make is that this is something that's important, not just in a pandemic, but always. And a lot of the stuff that I reported on in my piece is really not pandemic specific. And if these changes had been made pre-pandemic, office workers might have been a lot healthier already. As for ventilation, I spoke with Joe Allen, who is a ventilation and aerosols expert at Harvard. And he said that the ideal is that all the air in your building should be replaced 4 to 6 times an hour. Most building codes are not that strict. So if you ask your boss about ventilation and they say, yeah, we're to code, it's probably not enough. And this is really important because over the last year plus, we've really learned that COVID spreads most easily indoors in poorly ventilated spaces when people are unmasked. So the better ventilation, the less the likelihood of spreading the disease.
And you also write about cleaning. How often will the office be cleaned? And you mentioned a red flag here, and I got to say, when I see a restaurant or something like that saying, we're still thoroughly deep cleaning and wiping down all our surfaces, I kind of feel like, are you really reading the CDC guidance on what you're supposed to be doing? Maybe you could talk about the importance or non-importance of cleaning in terms of SARS-CoV-2.
For sure. So in terms of the coronavirus in particular, surface cleaning, as we know, really doesn't do much in terms of your actual likelihood of contracting the virus. That said, cleaning makes people feel safer. And at a time when it can often feel really unsafe to be out in public or in an office or at a restaurant, that's not necessarily something that we should ignore. If it helps people feel better about returning to work and it's not diverting tons and tons of money from ventilation or other more critical investments, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. That said, if you're going all in on deep cleaning 3 times a day and you're making employees wipe down their desks once an hour, that's probably pretty excessive.
Okay, so you're actually saying there is some value to hygiene theater, as I think one of your colleagues might have termed it long ago. Last thing is, like, what you suggest asking about a plan in case something goes wrong. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Definitely. It's really important to have a backup plan right now because as much as employers try to keep their workers safe from the virus, it's still spreading quite a bit in the US. Rates are going down, things are looking up, but we're certainly not near zero yet. And so office workers are still going to continue to contract the virus every once in a while. And your boss should be able to tell you what the communication plan is if that happens, so that you will know as quickly as possible if there's a possibility that you've been exposed, so that you can protect yourself and your loved ones.
Todd, last question to you, and we have maybe a minute, minute and a half left in our conversation, but you, one of your recent columns with your co-author Emily Drake is, now is the time to take it slow. What do employers need to consider about the residual effects of this pandemic before jumping right back into office work as though the pandemic had not happened and changed all of our lives for more than a year now? And again, you have about a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just honor the whiplash that all of us have felt the last, year and a half plus of being in a pandemic, going remote, figuring out what that looks like. Again, dealing with other life factors, aging parents, children, spouses, isolation, health and safety concerns. And so I think to the extent that we can avoid more whiplash for our colleagues and employees, the better. So take it slow. Listen to and understand and appreciate individual needs and context. I think employers that do that are going to really win the hearts and minds of their employees, not just in this moment, but for the future as well. So yeah, take it slow and listen. Listen is a leadership exercise in this season.
Todd Connor is the founder and CEO of Bunker Labs in Chicago. It's a business accelerator that supports entrepreneurs with military connections. Rachel Gutman is deputy managing editor at The Atlantic and the author of 6 Questions for the Boss Who Wants You Back in Your Cubicle. Rachel and Todd, thanks so much for being with me today on the 21st.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Brian.
Listeners, coming up, we're going to be talking about another aspect of life getting back to somewhat pre-pandemic levels after the break. That is, summer concert season is coming up. More on that. Stay with us.